Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Hutter, pastor of Grace Christian Center, along with my wife,
Sherry.
Pastor Sherry also is pastor of Grace Christian Center. And we are here to celebrate with you the resurrection of our Lord Jesus.
Oh, yes.
We're so excited to be here. We were just saying this is the most unique Easter service we have ever participated in. But it's a privilege to be here with you at this time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is the day
the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in him. You know, about 5 o'clock this morning, I was awakened, and we are privileged to live on the waterfront of Admiralty Inlet on the Puget Sound, and the sunrise was just beginning. I looked across Admiralty Inlet over to the Cascade Mountains, and on top of the mountains, there was this glorious pink and reddish glow, and yellow and light, white light began to come, and darkness had to begin to move away because of the sunrise. And that's what Easter is all about.
It is.
Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And as I watched and enjoyed the sunrise this morning, I thought so much of him, and I praised and worshiped him. And I saw out in the water a school of ducks doing synchronized swimming. And then I saw a flock of what I assume were geese flying overhead. And then in a few minutes later, higher, I saw this gorgeous eagle fly overhead, flapped his wings a few times, and then he just began to glide on the wind on his wings.
Yeah.
And that speaks to me of the resurrection life that Jesus has, is, and is bringing to us today. We're aware that we've been in a darkened time, a difficult time in our nation, but we're also aware that our Jesus is alive and well and is extending his hands to you, to us this morning. We pray that even as you hear words you may have heard before from the scripture, that you understand how great he is and how alive our Lord is. No other leader of any other religion on earth is alive. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again.
Yeah.
And we're here to celebrate that story this morning. We're going to be celebrating a scripture and song, but here's one that we can all sing along. It goes like this. Great thy faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters in mercy. And nothing can
Your grace is enough. Your grace.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Pastor Sherry, the Lord's given you some thoughts to share with us this morning.
Hallelujah.
Would you please?
As I was looking into the Word this weekend, it's been very meaningful for me. And I saw in Isaiah 53 that everything that happened to Jesus when he was alive and walked this earth 2,000 years ago, everything was predicted in Isaiah 53. And then I turned to the Gospels and I read several of the Gospel accounts of Passion Week. And I saw that the Gospels tell the story. It was predicted in Isaiah, and then the Gospels tell what really happened. What happened to Jesus? And then I couldn't help but turn to Colossians, because Colossians tells us how to relate to that prediction, that actual story, and how we should live it out today.
Fantastic.
We need to identify ourselves with his death, because he died for you and me. He died for us. Then we need to see ourselves buried with him. And that's what it says in Colossians. We are to see ourselves and reckon ourselves buried with him. And then after that burial, we go into the tomb where he was taken. And I saw myself actually going into that tomb and actually participating in what he was going through in the tomb. He was resurrected, and he took the grave clothes off, and he folded the napkin neatly and set it aside. And he was saying, the sins are off. They're forgiven. Everything that binds me up as I relate to what happened to him in that tomb, everything that binds me is done away with. He took the power out of sin.
Excellent.
And so we leave those things behind. And then as I was standing there, all of a sudden the stone was rolled away and resurrection life was in me. I was indeed risen with Christ.
Yes.
I am risen with Christ. Therefore, I can absolutely walk the resurrected life with him. I have victory in Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what I've got to say today. In a resurrected state, I am risen with him, and the glory of the Lord pours forth through me to others. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, meet us at every turn this day.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus says we relate via technical means to one another. Let us just share your presence with the ones that we come in contact with, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Let us be the blessing that you created us to be. Christ the Lord is indeed risen today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to celebrate that. Fantastic, Pastor Sherry. Thank you so much. We're going to celebrate in song and in scripture. We were together Friday night. If you were with us, we're grateful that you were here. Thanks for being with us. And we're going to share some the rest of the story, if you will, as Paul Harvey used to say. And what a powerful story. What a powerful, true story it is. We thank you for being with us this morning. We see those of you who have joined in. And we recognize the grace of God is alive and well. Well, because he is risen again. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Souls to save. Hallelujah. Again with him. Isn't he a wonderful Lord? And in fact, we sing a song, and I encourage you, of course, to be singing along at home. We sing a song that talks about how everybody needs compassion. Everybody needs our precious, powerful, risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It goes like this. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Oh, Savior, we can move the by God, He's mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. Fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Just declare it, church. Save me. Oh, my Savior, He can move the mountains. And it's true, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Oh, forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Oh, my Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus, we are so grateful for all that you have done. How you conquered the grave, you rose again from the dead, and you ever live to make intercession for us, your people. We thank you for the sweetness and the power You went to the cross bearing our sins, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. You rise again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You split the grave. You had victory over death. And right now, there may be many people watching who are fearful of the death that's going around the world. But Lord, we put our trust in you, for you are the greatest Lord. And Lord, it's not just life here. It's where we spend eternity. And that begins now when we've surrendered to you. We love you, Jesus. I stand amazed at his grace and presence. Don't you this morning? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered, died alone. Everybody sing, song we get to sing this morning about the love, the power, the mercy, and the grace of our Lord Jesus. It really is amazing grace. As we shared the scriptures with you on Friday night, as we do so again this morning, our hearts and our prayers are that you see that this is so much more than just a story of history. But history is his story. And darkness must give way to light and a new day. I realized this morning as I was watching the sunrise and an incredible burst of glory comes across and through our windows. And I realized the scripture is so true. Lamentations is a book of the Old Testament written in his heart. The prophet Jeremiah poured out his heart in the scriptures after the judgment had come upon Israel. And at the very least, we recognize the hand of God allowing what's going on right now in our world to stop the whole world in its tracks. I think of the scripture that says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote in the midst of his pouring out of his soul, chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. Just take a listen. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And on a morning like this, 2,000 years ago, he proved his compassions fail not. His mercies fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. He loves you so much. Let's just say the scripture together right where you are. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not just a verse we quote for the birth of Jesus, but for the birth, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, all to demonstrate the love of God for you and for me. Only a week ago, the cheers were taking place from the crowd as Jesus moved into Jerusalem on donkey back. But he didn't move into Jerusalem to take over the kingship like he thought he should, get rid of the Romans, our oppressors, take over, be our natural king. He didn't do what people thought he should. Judas betrayed him. The people who had cheered, we find them on Good Friday, jeering, calling out for Jesus to be crucified. He was pre-tortured, as we discussed earlier and before, more than any other person ever crucified. And that was the worst form of capital punishment that there was known to man. But Jesus was pre-tortured more than anyone else. By the way, you know, his disciples, they all scattered. Some watched from a distance, but they didn't offer to come help Jesus carry his cross. Peter had denied him, though he said he wouldn't. Judas hung himself after throwing back into the temple the 30 pieces of silver they'd given to him for betrayal. Surely, the next day after the crucifixion was a day of tortured shame, contempt, and confusion. Peter, when the rooster crowed after he had denied him three times, Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine the eye-to-eye contact and the brokenness of heart that entered Peter's heart and life as he ran out in shame? The 11 disciples are now behind closed doors, fearful that maybe what happened to their Lord will happen to them. But then we're going to come to the first day of a new week. Have you ever had preconceived notions where you think something's supposed to go this way? I know what's going to happen. I know this is the way this works. And have you ever had it all figured out only to discover that you didn't? Peter thought he would never deny his friend and Lord, but he did. I have not an ounce of criticism for Peter. I must tell you, my heart is only grieved and broken as I realize my own sins and the things that I've done in my life that maybe I didn't purposefully do it, but just like Peter, I've denied the Lord by some of the things I've done, and I just have repented of those things and experienced his grace. No criticism for Peter from me. The Jews thought they had it all figured out. Let's just get rid of Jesus. Their assumptions were that their positions would be assured if Jesus was off the scene. That'll take care of everything. Well, they didn't. The devil thought he had it all figured out. Just destroy Jesus. And oh, he tried. The beating and the mockings were horrendous. Jesus died, was placed in a tomb. But that didn't stop Jesus. Sometimes what we assume is held so strongly that it gets in the way of what is true. And you know, sometimes the assumption, even when we approach the Lord, is Jesus is where we last saw him. Mark 16:1-6 is a section of scripture I'm going to be going through this morning. Pull out your Bibles. Look on your phone, your tablet, wherever you're looking, where your scriptures are. And we're going to be going to Mark 16:1-6. But especially in the last verse of 15, we see that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of, it's pronounced Joses, we call it Joses or whatever, observe where he was laid. The Marys observed it. They knew where to find him. You know the old phrase, where'd you lose your keys? Well, the last place I left them. Mark 16:1-4. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. If you hear the noise in the background, that's the groaning of my guitar speaker. So I'm going to ask Pastor Sherry if she'll just shut that off right now over there. And if you can't find the switch, Pastor Sherry, just unplug it. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. The women, by the way, who were the last at the cross, were the first at the tomb. They assumed he'd be right where they left him, and by the way, assumed that he would be in the same condition. The spices were needed to stop the stench of decomposition. The elevation of Jerusalem, about 2,000 feet and more, it was in April, and so the coolness of the weather would have prevented the body from decomposition, so there wasn't such a stench that they couldn't get in that tomb. They went to the effort to procure the spices and supplies, thank you, and then they got up early to go to the tomb. None of the disciples, none of the men were with them. The ladies wanted to care for Jesus' body, and we don't see anywhere in the scriptures any expectation that the men were going to go to the tomb. They're behind locked doors. The ladies love Jesus, but they go to an honor and go to the honor for who they knew a man was dead. By the way, love over practicality. You got to love this. They get up, they procure the spices, they're on their way to the tomb, and then they turn to each other. They don't have the men with them, and then they turn to each other. They realize, who's going to roll away this huge stone? I appreciate their depth of love. Sometimes revelation comes to us when we're in motion. This morning, you made motion to come be here with us on Facebook Live. You get up and you go to church, and we're looking forward to getting back together to our public gatherings, but we're so honored that you're with us here this morning. But you make a step, you make a motion toward Jesus, and if you'll do so even today on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter, make movement toward Jesus. See him afresh. He will move toward you. Verses 5 and 6 of Mark chapter 16. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe. I loved how Pastor Sherry talked about entering into the tomb. They saw this man in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed, but he said to them, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. If you're fearful this morning, worried, anxious, move toward him and see what he's done for you and me. Entering, they make movement. Revelation comes. The Bible says they were alarmed, and in the Greek that word means they were astonished. They were seeking him. You seek him. That literally, that word means in the Greek worship. You've come, in essence, in your honor to worship him. They saw an angel. They heard his message. He's risen. He's not here. You came expecting to see Jesus as you last saw him. But Jesus has moved. He's risen. He's awakened from death. Sometimes we even go to church that way, don't we? We go to the gathering and we gather together with others, but we expect Jesus to do the same thing he's done before. But if we prepare our hearts to seek him fresh, he's always doing something new. And we'll let him do that for us if we ask him to prepare our hearts and make that motion. Revelation in motion. Their hunger is honored. It's incredible. Boy, I could spend quite a little while on people who put down women ministries. But listen, everybody needs to recognize that it was the women who heard the message first and who saw him first. I love that. I love how God puts Ruth in the lineage. And I love how God, just does more than we expect him to do. They were the first to see him. Restoration defeats rejection. Please hear me this morning. Restoration defeats rejection. The disciples are dejected, they're concerned, they're fearful, they're afraid. Peter's ashamed. He's denied his Lord. Listen to Mark 16, 7 and 8. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him. And as he said to you, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But here's what I love about this, and of course you know I'm going to pick up on the point because I love Peter. And Peter, Jesus, please hear me this morning. I've said that a couple of times already, but please hear. Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are, where you are. He loves you right there. He knows you, and he knows your name. Two of the most welcome words in Scripture, I'm sure, to Peter, and the promises of God were the words, and Peter. He's risen for you. He's moving toward you with his love today. He came to you and for you as a baby, as a man of ministry, as the Lamb of God, as the crucified Savior, now the resurrected Lord. He's alive. He's going to Galilee. And I'll meet with you right where he said he would. God fulfills his promises. Jesus fulfills his promises. The ladies were bewildered, amazed, full of awe, and they ran to do what the angel said. When you've seen and know him personally, when you've met Jesus personally in your heart and in your life, you know the forgiveness of God in your life. You know the weights of shame that come off your back. You can't help but run and go tell others about the story, the truth, the reality of Jesus Christ, him dead and buried and resurrected. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Oh, what amazing grace. Now, resurrection either moves you or shakes you. Either moves you or shakes you. You can't remain indifferent. You may try, but Jesus keeps moving toward you. The ladies see Jesus. They believe him. They go tell the disciples. But the disciples don't believe them. The guards at the tomb, they were literally shook. They go run and tell the Jewish leaders what had happened and everything they saw. And the Jewish leaders paid them to go back and to go out and tell everybody that the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. Jesus shows up to two others walking on the road to Emmaus, so dejected and so disheartened, they're walking away from the disciples. And Jesus comes up alongside of them. They don't recognize him. He comes back differently than they had last seen him. And he starts to share from the scriptures about his life and ministry. They constrain him, the Bible says, to come in and sit down and sup with them. And in the breaking of bread, their eyes are open and they see Jesus. And these guys' hearts are so alive. They say to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he shared the scriptures, as we walked with him? They run back to find the other disciples. And we read in Luke 24, 33 through 34, they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 And those who were with him gathered together, and the 11 and those gathered were saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Did you hear that? And Peter. How about you this morning? Fill in your name. Jesus came back and appeared specifically to Peter. Do you think, let me ask you honestly, do you think that when Jesus saw Peter, he looked at him and said, I told you so. I told you. I don't think so. I think that when he saw Peter, he had his hands outstretched and said, Peter, I love you. I love you. And I want you to fill in your own name this morning, because his hands are outstretched to you. I love you, Jesus says to you this morning. He knows you by name. Welcome him to you today. Mark 16, 14 through 15, I see a little humor in this, although I'm one of the disciples he would have had to do this to, I'm sure. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. You know, you can imagine, it's vivid in my mind. I can see Jesus looking at me and saying, guys, Kevin, what do I got to do? I died, I buried, now I'm back alive. But I don't think he upbraided them because he hated them. In fact, I know he didn't. He was trying to help them believe he's right here, right now, today, in their circumstances. And Jesus is right here today with you in your circumstances, with this world that's hurting. Everybody stopped in their tracks. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh, the Bible says. Stopped in our tracks. And he's saying, hands outstretched, I'm here. Come to me. I've come for you. You know, the Bible tells us why Jesus did this. The scripture says he spoke to them in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, listen, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Historians at the time, Josephus, etc., gave reliable report that this indeed took place. One of the best proofs that it took place were fearful disciples who, after seeing Jesus, absolutely came alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him, go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them, which gave them power to go out and share the gospel and reach this earth with Jesus. Resurrected Jesus. Not just some made up fable. Their fear is turned now to incredible joy, passionate joy. He even reached out to Thomas, who was the last doubter. And he said, come on, put your hand in my side. Feel the scars. I'm here for you. Hebrews 12:2 tells us why. Why did he do all this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he do this? For you. For me. You, me. We are the joy that was set before him. restored in a living, loving, alive, incredible relationship with God. That's what God wanted all along. That's why he sent his son to die, be buried, and rise again. That's why he's here. Jesus came, and he's speaking your name this morning. That's the restoration he wants. Life here on earth is temporary. Our hearts grieve with those who have become ill with the coronavirus. Some have died and hearts have broken. People can't even gather together for a memorial or funeral service. Our hearts ache for them. And we are so thankful, so appreciative, so love our first responders, nurses, practitioners, surgeons, laboring in hospitals, and those who are EMTs and attendants and our first responders who are ministering to keep people alive. We are so grateful. Life here on earth, it's not permanent. It's temporary. It's appointed unto men once to die. In this hour of a wake-up call, when the whole world has stopped, I see something in what the president has asked and what the governors have asked others on the front lines where they've said, what do you need? What do you need? Personal protective equipment, respirators, hospital beds, what do you need? So we take it higher. COVID is a virus that may slay your body. But we're here this morning as first responders for your soul.
Wow.
There's a virus that will take away your life for eternity. And that virus is sin. What do you need? You need a Savior. His name is Jesus. You need the Messiah. You need the resurrected Lord who died and took your sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, it is finished. They buried him, but he rose again. It is finished. He's got life to give you, and you can live forever. Even if this body perishes, our spirits live forever with Jesus. Our souls are his. And that eternal life starts right now. If you've not given your life to Jesus, today is the day. Resurrection Sunday, Easter, the message of hope, the message of life, the message of he is risen, he's risen indeed, and he's risen for you. This morning, we're going to take a moment to pray. If you've not given your life to Jesus, do it today. We've already quoted the scripture, he so loved the world, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 14:6, the Bible says, Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, he said. So come to the Father through Jesus. I've shared several times about my wife's dog and my dog, I've adopted now, a Shih Tzu Pomeranian named Yummy. In this enclosed time, haven't you all found that your pets are delighted to be with you? Some of you, I suppose if you have cats, maybe not, but dogs are delighted that you're there. Overall, I love cats too. But Yummy does something, and I just see a picture here. Yummy does something. If we have to leave her, she loves to be with us. She loves to travel in the car with us. But if we have to leave her here, if we were to leave her in the living room, literally, we've seen her, if one of us has had to remain, the other one's out, we've seen her go straight to the door, sniff at the door, and wait at attention because up on the upper road, she will hear when our car is coming down the road. And when we pull into our driveway, that little dog, if she could, she'd open the door, she'd run out, and she would jump up into my arms, if she could, or into her mama's arms. There was a prodigal son who went away from his father, lived, the Bible says, riotously, a riotous living. He wasted his resources on sin, who discovered that he had engaged in an empty life. And he woke up to realize, you know, even my father's servants have it better than I. I'm not worthy to be a son. It's time for me to go home. And you know what happened? You know the story. When he got close to home, his father had been looking out his window to look longingly, achingly. You can imagine the prayers, the sleepless nights, as he prayed for his son that he loved so much. And there, in the distance, is a person. Who's that? Could it be? The closer he gets, he sees his son, disheveled, ashamed. And his son comes up and he begins to give his spiel. I'm not worthy. And the father has run out the door to greet, to love, and to hold that young man. The lost had come home. And that's how, if you have not given your life to Jesus, your Father God is wanting you to come home to him. The message of Easter, he did it for you. It's called amazing grace. If you're saved here this morning, if you already celebrated the resurrection, then let it be an all-day, everyday celebration. Thank God your Father is already holding you tight, and it's a party in the house of God because he loves his people and loves to be with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that on this day we get to celebrate. Jesus, we thank you that on this day we get to rejoice. It's all because of what you have done. Jesus, we are so grateful that you took our sins on yourself. You were buried, you died, you were buried, but you rose again. And the Bible tells us you're ever living to pray for your people. We thank you. If you've not given your life to Jesus, just follow me in prayer. Jesus, I come to you now. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for me, that you rose again for me, that you're alive. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take over. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Now I receive you as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've done that today, we encourage you. We celebrate. Let us be the first to say, yahoo! It's a day of celebration. If you've made things right, maybe you've done that prayer before, but you've needed to make things right, and you've done so today, we celebrate for you. If you've just only done that, we encourage you, in fact, all of you, we encourage you to go to gracechristiancenter.us, and you'll find messages on there that'll strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. If you've just given your life to the Lord, I encourage you. There's a series on there called Launching Your Faith. If you have never been through that series or you need to understand more, what is this Christian walk with Jesus? Go to Launching Your Faith. There's some materials there you can download and listen and be a strength to you. You can also find other materials that will be a strength and messages that are there from others and from Pastor Sherry, an incredible, as you saw this morning, incredible preacher. And we have the privilege of pastoring this wonderful church. We love you all. It is a day of celebration. Above all, rejoice in the Lord who loves you so much. We're going to finish with this song because he is good, all right? He is great. Let's celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, and he lives.
resurrection of our Lord. He is risen. He is risen. And he lives forevermore. Oh, he's risen. He is risen. Come on and celebrate. Oh, come on and celebrate. One more time. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
God bless you. Have a fantastic Easter Resurrection Sunday celebration with your friends and with your family. He is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless you.